podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. On June 12, 1987, the world heard these words.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Then, on October 19th of the same year, the Dow Jones dropped nearly 22%, the largest single-day drop in history, causing a different type of wall to crumble. You know, one with the street named after it. But in the middle of these two events, there was a different viewpoint on the perspective of a wall. One begging for the wall to be put up! One to be put up around a field. And it all revolved around the Arena Football League.
Welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. Your host is Arnie Chapman. Football is his passion, and he wants you to come along with him to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board his DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour. Great
Scott. This time as we step out the DeLorean, the date is August 11th, 2019. We are sitting in the stands with 12,041 other people waiting to watch the 32nd Arena Bowl. This is the championship game for the Arena Football League. The time? 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that is. And we're about a half an hour away from kickoff between the Philadelphia Soul and the Albany Empire. Now, the Albany Empire would go on to win this game 45-27. Up to halftime, it was at least close enough to call it a game. Then a few months later, the AFL filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. A league that lasted a little over three decades had to shut down its doors. Which brings us to this week's guest, Tim Capper. Tim has worked with an organization that covered the Arena Football League for pretty much the whole time. Jumping online on April 27th, get this, 1998, and they never looked back, including starting a podcast when basically podcasts were not even considered podcasts, starting it at the beginning of time. And speaking of podcasting, that's how I got introduced to Tim. I mean, seems how the Arena Football League folded. The best thing Tim could do was start to focus the podcast that he already had going and shifting it to the history of the league. Thus, the transformation into the AFL Rewind, the most recent edition of the Sports History Network, the headquarters for sports yesteryear. Yes, Tim and AFL Rewind are the latest, greatest podcasts that you can find on the Sports History Network. And speaking of podcasts on the network, now's a good time for me to bring in another podcast on the network, Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch. He put together a great promo using the theme song for our network sponsor, Row One Sports.
At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog for gallery prints and gift items, plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes.
Thanks, Darren, for putting that together. Maybe we'll have to go meet you in the pig pen up there someday. And no doubt, for you listening, I'm telling you, if you enjoy sports, especially the nostalgia of days gone by, well, you probably do because you're listening to the Football History Dude podcast. And I'm sure you've listened to many other podcasts over at the Sports History Network. And because we know that is you, you're going to feel like a kid in the candy store when you head over to Row One. Again, the best way to get there is sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW, the number 1, and it's going to take you right over to give you that sweet little 15% discount, which is SHN15. But with that, let's go ahead and dive right into this interview with Tim Capper.
Within the database, this day in history pops up.
Okay, so I'll have to find that on here too, because that's definitely interesting. Here we go. Today in AFL history. Alrighty. So cool. So today in AFL history, fight breaks out on the field during the Chicago. That's awesome. Now, this is a cool little feature. So how did you guys build something like this? Is it like, how does the back end work?
The back end is so ancient at the moment. I mean, the coding really needs to be updated. It's like 10 years out of... David Carlson is the mastermind behind the coding in the back end of the database. And it was just a... Because I wasn't around for the initial talks when it came to what they were going to put in the back end. It's just a matter of... I was along after that and what we were going to add and stuff like that. I think it's just a matter of they want to, at the time it was whether you were a part of the league or not, whether you're a fan at that time or not, they just wanted to be able to pop up something that we felt, because something that we at the Arena Fan staff entered into the database was we felt that would be interesting to the fans. So it's little tidbits like that. All the Arena Bowls are in the database. Major milestones for when it comes to records and stuff like that, and a couple of little tidbits too, like because the Pittsburgh Post Gazette and the Chicago Times, or was it this? It was the Times that were really the two newspapers that really covered the league, because it was, I guess, tie into who Jim Foster knew, etc. And, you know, they would post certain things. Like, as an example, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I think it was a couple days prior to the league starting, what the team names were going to be for the Pittsburgh Gladiators, if they had not been the Pittsburgh Gladiators. So they had a listing of all the final names, and I'm glad they went with Gladiators.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty cool name. And that's what I talked to Kyle Smith from the USFL, what's it called? The USFL project, where they're trying to preserve. Yes. So you'd say, you know what? Okay, so
good job.
Very good. And I brought it up with him, like all these offshoot leagues always have so many cool, different, unique team names versus just the standard. I mean, I go with the Lions because that's where I'm from and everything, but I always found that pretty interesting. So you kind of got me into it. I gotta dig down here for you. You're gonna be the first one. Okay, so first of all, there's this DeLorean, right? That everybody gets to ride the DeLorean.
Great Scott.
And then the other thing you get to do is 1.21 gigawatts, right? And I found this recently. So this is an energy drink that I found at FYE. Or FYE, it's 1.21 gigawatts. We're going to go 88 miles an hour. I already drank this sucker, so it's gone. But now we can pour it into the DeLorean so you and I can go back in time together. And let's go back to the beginning. What is the Arena Fan? When did it start and why did it start, the mission
first,
of it?
First, I have to get out. Whoa, dog, that's heavy.
why is everything so heavy in the future? It's wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull. Okay, sorry. Enough references. We could go on all day, right?
Exactly. So the beginnings of the AFL, right? Or did you say Arena Fan? I can't remember.
Let's start off with the actual Arena Fan. Well, for the reason why I brought you on the show and how we found about your work, and then we'll move into the AFL history a little bit.
Well, Arena Fan was started by Kevin Scheller, and it was originally done as him and John Ferlazzo and David Carlson, Joe Kaufman. It originally was started as it would way back when, as a newsletter that was actually sent out to fans of the Arena Football League. And from there, did it morph? Then it morphed into what was one of those email lists that you could join. Whether you got, you know, somebody posted something. It's funny, back then that was posting. Posting something, and it was, you know, you got it right there and then and entered the whatever the thread may be, or you got it in the digest form. That's how it morphed to that. And then I think that the big idea was, you know, let's create a website. So it was basically converted into what ArenaFan was. And I'll be honest with you, it was a time that I knew of the AFL, but I wasn't heavily involved in it as much as I was. ArenaFan was launched April 27th, 1998. And if you actually head over to the website, we were actually able to go back in time and find the original press release that was posted about the launch. And obviously the site is not what it currently is now, but it launched from there. From day one, it had the message boards. It had the coverage that it always has had for the 20 plus years. Box scores, logos, and even we were the first to have fantasy football. We were the first to have fantasy football when it comes to the Arena Football League. So started back, I think, almost immediately. And then from there, the site grew. It grew in name. It grew in stature. We've had, many writers that have gone on to be general managers of teams. We've had, we actually had one writer who went on to become a mayor of a city in the U.S. So it's just gone from there. So it's, ArenaFan made its name, ruffled some feathers, but we still kept true to what a true media organization was, no matter how much we may have been called a blog or just a website. So we were always put up our, you know, it was always standards as any regular reporter would. If something was to break, we'd always have two different sources in which we would have to prove that this story was true, and then we'd run with it. So we kept that, you know, those are the standards that the site could have, you know, kept to. And you know, then we added podcasting in 2001. You know, it did what it did for the entire history, and even with the league folding in 2019, it was transitioned over to historical sites so everybody can remember and see what the AFL was.
Yeah, you guys jumped into technology pretty early as far as like, you know, internet and podcasting. Geez, your podcasting, you're right at the beginning. Was it even, it had to have not looked the same at that point in time, I would imagine.
Oh, no. I'm trying to remember. I think at the time, the idea was kind of, you know, the inception of the idea for a podcast was kind of done when I think we were invited on, it was another show, and I think it was on Broadcast Monsters. I think I'd have to go back and see if I could check in the archives if it was Broadcast Monsters. But from there, in 2000, I think, I don't know how it became, but I became the host of AFL Tonight, which was, I tried to keep it as being a weekly show during the season. Which expanded into other show offshoots of the actual show itself, but it was usually kept in season. And that ran up and, you know, I did that up through the demise of the league itself. So, and then I myself morphed into another podcast, or to an historical podcast, which is now AFL Rewind. So I've gone through many programs just to tape the show. Going back and listening to some of the archives of my, because originally it was just myself, and just listening to the archives of myself, it was like, man, that was bad.
Yeah, I can relate. I'm sure everybody that's a podcaster or anybody that records themselves can relate to. And speaking of AFL Rewind, before we go any further, the latest, greatest addition to the Sports History Network, AFL Rewind, get your Arena League history there. And you can always put a little bit of a twist to that for me, because you can explain what your mission of the AFL Rewind is more here for us too.
Yeah, AFL Rewind, and you know, when we heard that the league was going under, I knew you know, even though we had interviewed players during the season and maybe getting a little bit of their backstory, I always knew that there were stories that were never told or that could be told. Because as I've been told many a time by people who I've interviewed, not all stories can actually be mentioned out in the open. You know, we joke that that those would be left for the book, for books that they're going to write. But there are always stories that can be told from the AFL, from whatever perspective, from a player's perspective, executive perspective, referees, mascots, cheerleaders, whatever it may be, there are always stories to be told. And I felt that those stories needed to be get out into the open. And that's really what was my push to transition over to AFL Rewind, get these stories out so people can actually hear them. And as I always say, if you can learn one, even if you're a lifer, if you can learn one new thing you knew that you did not know about the AFL, then we have done our job.
So you're talking about these different stories that had to be told. So far in the life of the AFL Rewind, since you've transitioned over, what's the one story that, I mean, obviously there's more, but one story that blew you away, like, oh, I never knew about that.
I've always been a guy who likes to, I've been a uniform guy. I've been a logo guy. It's kind of been my obsession. You know, I like to, when it comes to the aesthetics, when it comes to teams and stuff like that, or names. My first team was the Albany Firebirds. That's a team that ran from 1990 to 2000. And to hear to actually speak with the gentleman who was part owner of the team back then, just to hear how the team was actually formed, how the team name actually came to be. Was there a name that the team possibly could have been? It's Joe O'Hara not only became, you know, was an owner, but also became one of the commissioners of the Arena Football League. And I think it was just, and it's hard to just describe the interview in one, you know, general sentence in a Cliff Notes version, but to hear a former commissioner be able to talk about when he was an owner of the Firebirds, how he took the founder of the league and the creator of Arena Football, Jim Foster, to court, and to be able to ask him questions, because he knew Jim so well, and being able to talking with him, he already knew something that he would be able to one question and he would win the case. And that actually was the fact, where I think it had something to do with it was player contracts and where they were signed. Cliff Notes version is that they had stated that it was signed in one state, when in actuality it was signed in another. So that actually made the case, and that's actually what won the case for O'Hara. So it's probably one of my favorite episodes that I've taped so far in the short history of AFL Rewind.
Right. Short history now, maybe, but for the future, you're going to have so many more, and you'll have so many of these stories to share. So you said you let's go back there. You kind of alluded to Jim Foster and the founder. Let's start the history of the AFL, the Arena Football League.
Well, wow. It's so expansive. I mean, Jim Foster came from, he was actually a part of the USFL, and he was also a part of the NFL, where he was part of promotions and marketing, if I'm not mistaken. And the whole big thing with the AFL, the story is that he went to, I think it was a North American Soccer League All-Star game. And I think it was in New York over at MSG. And he got the idea of, well, if you can play soccer indoors, why can't you play football? And that's where the famous Manila envelope came up, where he actually doodled what the field could look like. And he came up with the idea. of the AFL. And this was in the early 80s. So because he got involved in the USFL, it actually never came to fruition until the mid 80s, just after that, after the USFL folded, because he had the opportunity to do it. So if the USFL never folded, it's very possible that the Arena Football League never would have been. It's very possible. So if it wasn't for Donald Trump moving into the fall, them only getting $3 in their infamous, you know, in the infamous court case from the, you know, from that court case judgment, the AFL never would have been. So, and it's from there, testing was done on the game itself. There was a test game played in 1986. Then it went to a showcase game, which is currently available on YouTube, which is considered by many AFL fans as the grail game for AFL fans, because it hadn't been unearthed or seen in 30 plus years. And then after that game in February of 1987, the league started mid to late to 1987. So yeah, June or July of 1987. So
yeah, I mean, it lasted a long time. I mean,
yeah,
considering all the other football leagues that folded after so many years. So mm-hmm. When they first started, you said this famous Manila folder. I've never even heard of this story either. But when he drew it up, was it originally with the walls around it, or did that come later?
He actually used, if I'm not mistaken, it was just a basic shape of what a hockey rink would be. I have actually heard that Arena Football almost wasn't called Arena Football, and I'm so glad they didn't go with this name. They originally called it Hockey Football, and I was like, no, it sort of doesn't ring well. But he had an idea of rebound nets, and you know, this is one of the most cherished things, obviously, for Jim Foster's memorabilia, is this Manila envelope. It even had, at the short period of time that the AFL actually had a display at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, there was a recreation of that Manila envelope that they had there. So it's available. I mean, there are a couple pictures floating around on Getty. I think if you do a Google search, it would pop up of Jim holding his Manila envelope. A couple of SI articles too, if I'm not mistaken, because SI did a story on the AFL and the very first few weeks that the league existed back in 1987.
So you said his archive. Is this something that's still in a collection that the family owns or something?
Oh yeah, supposedly he has game tapes, and I can only imagine what Jim has, from game tapes to different memorabilia to, I mean, last time I talked to Jim was, you know, I think it was almost a year ago. Again, he referenced that, you know, he has storage lockers of stuff that's currently just sitting there, including game films. And it's like, and as everybody knows, game films and heat usually don't mix, especially these days. So it's something that he currently has in Des Moines, Iowa. Will any of it ever be seen? It's a very good question. I hope it will. But I know there's a lot more people who were involved in the executive at that time that have just as much. But I think when it comes to the grails that many fans may want to see, it's in Jim's possession.
So I saw somewhere when I was doing a little research, the founder, something about patented Arena Football League. Was that just a Wikipedia thing, or did he actually patent the theory?
No, it's not that he patented the theory. He actually patented the game system, as they called it. He fully patented patent ran out in 2010, if I remember correctly, because patents, they only last about, you know, I think it was maximum 12 years, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, the Arena Football League is patented. It's under patent number 4,911,443. It was originally patented on March 27th, 1990. And yeah, it expired in late March of 2007. That was the anticipated expiration, but that's when it expired. So no, it's a real thing. So at that time, because of the patent itself, and I know they had it out with, there were a few lawsuits versus other leagues. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of them was the PIFL, if I remember correctly. It's either the PIFL or the IPFL. I'm trying to remember which one it was, because both of those leagues actually did have those acronyms. But no league could use the rebound nets. And that was one of the things that made Arena Football Arena Football, were the two rebound nets on each end of the field itself, which acted as the goalposts and part of the actual game itself. So because of that, no league could actually use the rebound nets.
Okay, so rebound nets, let's dive into that. You said part of the game itself, beyond just catching the football, you're saying?
Yeah, because the rebound nets itself, and because of the way the rebound nets are, you're talking only 9 feet wide on the uprights. And obviously, it's double the size when it comes to a normal college, NFL, pro football. But the rebound nets were just hanging over there. They were in play. Balls could go off of them. You could catch touchdowns off of them. You could get interceptions off of them. The kicks, because of the kicks came off of them, and that played a huge part of the game too, because if you can get a kicker at that time, and then it only went later on in the years once kickers got better. But if you could have a kicker good enough that could hit the ball off the irons, which surround the rebound nets, because all balls off the rebound nets are live, it played a huge part in the game. It's a lot different than the way that the current indoor game is, because that's not part of the game.
Yeah, so that's one major difference from the standard, what we normally talk about on this show, the NFL. What about any other, I mean, the boards, like you said, the hockey football, mm-hmm. I already knew about the small goalposts. It's only, 50, 60 yards, something along those lines. Yeah. What's the distance?
It's 50 yards, where they originally was, you know, they call the war on I-4. The war on the floor. I think that was the earliest hashtag or tagline that they were using. But it's 50 yards. And 2 8-yard end zones.
What were some of the other unique or different type of rules or additions to that type of a game?
One of the main ones was being 8-on-8 football. And early on, you play, well, it changed in later years, but everybody played both ways, except for the quarterbacks and an offensive specialist. So it was, and a defensive specialist too, because they had to switch it around, but they played both ways. So they basically played what football was back in the day, where you played both ways. And I think one of the things, which I don't know if it was I can't say homage, but I think it may be the rule may have been borrowed slightly from the CFL, where they had forward motion before the ball snapped. So I think that other than that, I'm trying to think of some of the other major rules. I mean, rebound nets, that's really it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to the surface of somebody that doesn't know the game at all, maybe from another country or something, they wear the same similar, you know, helmet, shoulder pads, all that type of stuff, and they're mm-hmm. throwing a football and everything. So it looks very similar, but
yeah,
when you know the game, it definitely it's a big difference. And mm-hmm. I recently learned from Oz Davis on this show some of the CFL rules that I had never learned before, had known about before. Because I've seen some, you know, at Buffalo Wild Wings or something, I'd watched a few games here and there, but I never really was able to watch a game to realize what some of the differences and even the subtle differences that made a big difference to the overall type of play style or type of player. Speaking of players, so people like me, we all know about Kurt Warner, right? I mean, that's a name. So besides Kurt Warner, who are some other players that did any other ones come out of Arena that ended up making a decent impact in the NFL?
Early on, I think one of the names that maybe people don't know about is current New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton. He actually played in the league in, I think it was 1988. It's either 87 and 88 or 88, 89, something like that. But he actually did play in the AFL. Orlando Gadsden, I'm sure Miami Dolphins fans may remember that name. There's some that really have gotten, you know, some cups of coffee in the NFL, but really haven't made a name for themselves. You know, a lot of these guys, I felt that they were stars in the AFL, but really were not able to catch on in the NFL. Maybe they caught on the CFL, but a lot of them were most of them were AFL lifers. So, but I mean, it's, you know, others have gone on to do some head coaching and stuff like that. Actually, currently Matt Nagy, he's the head coach at Kansas City, right? He played in the AFL. He was a quarterback in the AFL.
Yeah, he's known for quarterback. He moved down from Kansas City down to Chicago. I think he's still there. One of our arch nemesis. I'm as a Lions fan, so if he's still there,
and then Jay Gruden, actually, most recently, okay. Jay Gruden, also, you know, former head coach of the Washington Redskins. So there are some few that have made it that people may not know what their history is when it comes to what they were before coaching. But I know it's usually always brought up, even though the league didn't exist. I know the history will always be brought up for where these guys came from. But, you know, again, the biggest name, Kurt Warner.
Yeah. I mean, that's how, so as he came into the league, I was in high school, getting into it when they were winning that Super Bowl, and everybody knew the story, you know, the guy serving bread and Arena League champion and everything. Or no, he didn't end up winning an Arena League championship.
No, he did not. He was in two of them. He lost both of them.
Isn't that crazy that he had so much success at that level, but then even in the arena, granted, it's a whole team sport. It's not fair to compare, but it's funny when I automatically thought about that, just assuming he was a champion at first because of going on to win a Super Bowl and now a Hall of Famer and everything in the NFL.
Well, two-time Hall of Famer, actually.
Oh, arena too, you're saying?
He's also a Hall of Famer in the Arena Football League. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's the only person then that could probably say that, because you just didn't name off any other names I really recognize. So
there are ones that have won championships in both leagues, if I'm not mistaken. The names are escaping me at the moment. But as far as I know, I think he is the only one to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Arena Football League Hall of Fame. And maybe we'll get a little bit more of a story when his movie is released in December. Of this year.
Hey, cool. You're a podcast host for me. You made that easy transition. I wanted to ask you about that movie. Do you know anything about it?
Other than what I have seen with the quick, I was going to give the acronym, but behind the scenes vignette that they did, he showed on his social media accounts. It's about his story from, you know, being a guy from Iowa, I think getting cut by Green Bay, if I remember correctly, stocking shelves at a Hy-Vee, if I remember correctly, which is a grocery chain in the Midwest, to getting the call for play Arena Football, to going on to NFL Europe. And then by chance and circumstance, as it usually seems to be with other greats in the NFL, Tom Brady included, one, you know, their starter goes down, he took over, and the rest is history. So
yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I've seen some footage and I'm pretty stoked to see that how well they delve into history, so what seems to be in the AFL, and getting Because you've seen sometimes, I mean, we've seen every given Sunday. We've seen the teams that they made up for every given Sunday. And for the longest yard, as in them, both iterations. But they were spot on the historical research that they did for these teams, for the AFL. And the footage that I saw of the three teams so far, dead on. And I'm so happy to see that.
Yeah, it's cool to see them actually, like you said, have historical reference that's actually accurate versus just kind of making it up. But I saw another cool thing I didn't even think about until looking at the Kurt Warner story, but Dick Vermeil has been in two movies now, or will have been in two movies at least, because back in the Invincible movie, Vince Papale from with Mark Wahlberg, he was the coach there too when that happened. So it's just funny, a 13 or 14 year difference, but he's still in there. I mean, air quotes, he's in there. Dennis Quaid is
the
new guy, and Greg Kinnear is the old one. So it's like, you know, that, how neat is that? I just thought, I don't know. Nothing historical football reference whatsoever.
No. But, you know, Anna Paquin is playing Kurt Warner's wife. What? You know, it's like, wait a minute. This former ex-woman is playing in okay. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. As I said, just the who they got to play these people and who's playing Jim Foster. And it should be even though I know the story, it's still going to be fun to actually watch. It'd be like a documentary type of thing, but it should be fun to watch.
It's just, hopefully you don't let your history cap be on too much and try to like nitpick everything subconsciously. Go, oh, this is wrong. This is, you know, like enjoy the movie.
Oh, well, you know what? I've seen the uniforms that they did for the AFL teams. I'm happy now. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to nitpick anymore.
There you go. Well, speaking of nitpicking, but in a different way. So this is not one of those things where I want to say, hey, this is going to happen, because hopefully it doesn't. But say we're going to play a little game, right? Not that creepy little dude on Saw, that little the weird mask. But okay, your site is an archive now, right? Because it's not live anymore. It's not a living, breathing document type thing. I mean, it's living, breathing, but it's not of current events.
Right.
So, again, this doesn't happen. We don't want this to happen. But if everything was wiped out except for, and your backups too, but one feature from the website and you could preserve it, which feature would you preserve?
Wow. Now, okay. I'm going to ask a follow-up to see, does Wikipedia exist if this occurs?
Yes, just arenafan.com.
Okay. I'd love to say the podcast, but to be honest with you, I don't think you get a full history of what the league was. Box scores. Even if the whole team lists didn't show up, because of how intricate the box scores are, I'll say the box scores.
You know, one thing I saw about the box scores too, like it even had, I guess it wasn't part of technically the box scores, but you have the attendance too, and maybe not every single game, but that, like, where did you get stuff like
every single game that happened in the regular season and postseason? There.
Really?
Yep.
How did you grab all this information?
It was just collected as Joe Kaufman, who is the current editor in chief of Arena Fan and is the owner of Arena Fan. He ran a site for the Tampa Bay Storm. And it was just a matter of actually also, I'm trying to remember Jim's last name. It's not Jim Malone. It'll come to me, but there's actually a Canadian who was very an integral part in some of these early, box scores and attendances and stuff like that, to be able to get Arena Fan up to that point. Because remember when Arena Fan started, the league had already been around for a couple of years. So we had to fill in the information, so to speak. From there, basically, it was either looking at the league box scores when they became available or referencing team sites when there's that one point where we actually got the box scores directly from the league and we're able to enter them in. So, or just historical research, you know, because not everything's going to show up. Getting the the actual from exhibition games that may have occurred prior to the league starting, you know, like for the test game and for the showcase game, where those numbers showed up, whether it had been in the history of the AFL books, the media guides, or through newspaper clippings and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a labor of love, needless to say, for everybody who worked behind the scenes. And the late, late nights, because the league, the site itself morphed in many different ways to be better.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I don't know why I hung up on that one, but when I saw the attendance charts, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I just randomly picked a year and I went to like 1990 or something like that. And I was like, to the one person, to the head, the attendance scores were, or not the attendance scores, but the attendance is on there. It's impressive.
Yeah, we, as I said, we felt that we were a media site that we need to make sure, because at that time, I think we felt that the league site was not giving fans what they deserve when it came to the history of the AFL and the correct history of the AFL or the updated history of the AFL. That's, as I said, it was a labor of love, and we were making sure that, you know, I don't want to say that we were the stats of the time or any of those major media sites that kept stats, but I think we were that for the AFL. And we're still, and to be fair, even though the league is gone, we're still trying to improve it.
Hey, another one of those cool transition moments. I wanted to ask you, do you have plans for the future for the site or the podcast or anything else in your realm?
As of right now, one of the newest features, because of the emergence of a fantastic site on YouTube that has housed, that is, I think it's upwards right now of 400 games alone, we're able to actually, with timestamps, if you go to, if as an example, if you go to the front page of Arena Fan right now, it gives you the option to look at the box score of a, what's the actual term that is being used?
It says interactive box scores.
That is correct. Yeah, interactive box scores, where you can go into the box score, because as of when we are taping this now, as an example, the box score that pops up is Nashville versus Orlando, Sunday, August 20th, 2000. You go in there, and because this game is available, you actually can go to the box score, click on the television icon. It will go to the game that it is currently on YouTube, and it will actually show you the scoring play. So that feature is, would not be, we wouldn't be able to do that feature if it wasn't for the internet and having all these games available currently. So that currently right now is one of the current, the newest features. And that's been a work, just getting that stuff entered into the database.
I would imagine. So here's another thing you have on the site. Here's a poll for the fans. If Kurt Warner had not made it in the NFL, would he have eventually won an Arena Bowl? What did you click on?
Did I vote on that one?
If you would have voted, and maybe this is a, you can't, what does it say? Friends and family of the podcast and the website could not participate. But yeah, would you have said yes?
Do I think he would have won an Arena Bowl? Yeah, I think he would have won an Arena Bowl. I think he would have stayed with Iowa. Iowa would have stayed a contender, which they did. I think they would have stayed a powerhouse. Yeah, I think he would have won an Arena Bowl. But I still think he would have, he still would have gotten that NFL shot. We don't know, you know, what would have happened after 96 or 97. We wouldn't have known. He still could have gone to the NFL. But yeah, I think he would have won one, at least one.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really compare and everything, and it's a different type of game, but NFL Hall of Famer, of course, the natural reaction is to mash that little yes button right there for someone, you know, of my status. Speaking of the website, also, we'd mentioned earlier, there's a Today in AFL History on here. There's, you know, live tweet updates. There's all sorts of things for the fan of the show here to learn more about the Arena Football League and the history of it. But I think it's time for us to play another one of those little games, if you don't mind.
Sure. Why not?
This is going to be more of a Mount Rushmore, if you will. We can eliminate Kurt Warner because that's a person that everybody knows about. Give me you're Mount Rushmore, but I have a couple of rules for you.
Okay.
It has to be two players, one coach, and one wild card, as in administrator or coach, player, whatever you want, except for the founder, because that's an easy gimme too.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So two players, a coach. Okay. Wow. And that's tough too with players and so early. That is.
You can even twist this to say your personal Mount Rushmore if you wish, like your favorite.
Right. It's still tough. It really, really is, because you have everything prior to 08 and the collapse, and then everybody else after that. Okay. I think if I, I can't believe it took me this long to think this, but I, you know, coach, and it's tough, but coach would be Coach Tim Markham. He won the first champion. He won the first three of four championships, if I remember correctly, three of four championships in the AFL. So he has to be there. Players, wow. I think I have to be fair with this one. Okay, so I'm gonna go with Eddie Brown. That's Touchdown Eddie Brown, who played for the Albany and then Indiana Firebirds.
Position?
He played the offensive specialist. So he didn't have to, and a lot of people, you know, he didn't have to play both ways. There were some other players that people would consider better because they played both ways. Wow. And even with, you know, quarterbacks, there's so many. That's tough. Only to be able to allow four people.
You can cheat if you want and give a couple of nominations.
Yeah, no, there are, again, they're just, the list is just so large. I think it deserves, there deserves to be a quarterback. But again, there's so many. I mean, I could put Jay Gruden up there, considering what he meant for the league, and then, you know, playing, being a player and then a coach. I'll put Jay Gruden there because it gives us another coach, so to speak. So, then wild card. And as you said, not Jim Foster. And not,
yeah,
Kurt
just White. Like on Always in Sunny Philadelphia. I cut the brakes, wild card. Woo! Yeah.
And no, and not Kurt Warner, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a tie between Gene Nudo and Bill Nero. I'm doing that on purpose because those two were integral parts in being executives, some were coaches. Gene Nudo, if I remember correctly, coached in one of the pre-AFL games. And they became very well-known and very good executives within the league itself. So I'm going to cheat. I called a friend. Okay. I called a friend. And
you can call a friend. You can do that. I mean, that's, like we said, you take the DeLorean back in time and you alter the timeline.
It's tough. Four players? It's like determining, because I saw this meme recently on Facebook, these different tiers of all these NFL quarterbacks. I'm like, no, this guy should be here. This should be, it's tough. And you're just going to four alone.
Yeah, that's what what brings out a lot of people with sports. And that's why those debate shows are so popular. It called? Around the Horn and all those other ones. Mm-hmm. And some of those just annoy me. It's like, quit yelling at each other. You know, let's have a conversation versus just yelling about your beating on the stuff. Let me get off my podium.
I can
there.
Say this, if anybody, and since you were talking about sort of the, you know, the PTI thing and stuff like that, if anybody were to say the Kurt Warner is the best player ever in Arena Football League history, they don't know the Arena Football League.
And it's funny because that's probably what would come from most people that have never really been totally watching the Arena Football League, because that's mm-hmm. the guy I know of. In my head, naturally, I think NFL Hall of Famer, vis-a-vis NFL grader, air quotes again, of course, Arena Football League. And yeah, I would have said that hands down if someone asked me that, but that's not fair. Yeah. So you call me ignorant.
Would he be a GOAT in the AFL? No. No, not even close. You know, my friend, and not because of my friend, it's just because I've been able to know and get to know him, and as a, not all, I didn't know him as a player, but I knew him as a broadcaster and stuff like that. But Shedrick Bonner, an amazing man, a great player for the Arizona Rattlers. I mean, he is a Arizona Rattlers AFL royalty. And he was given a nickname by Irie Wolf, who's a very well-known longtime broadcaster for the AFL, of QB1 or GOAT 13, because his number was 13. So there are many players. Yeah, Kurt Warner, no. As much as he is integral to the part of the history of the AFL, come at me. At me.
Yeah, come at me, bro. That's another reason why your show is so important too, because of being able to get AFL history to the masses versus mm-hmm. just maybe someone that was in the moment and everything. Someone like myself that I've seen, again, just like CFL, I've watched them, it's been on TV, but I've never actually actively participated in following the sport or the league, I should say. Mm-hmm. And that leads me into what I was going to ask you for the last one. The DeLorean question, but mm-hmm. now I remember there was something to do with Kiss having a football team. Did the actual band own a team?
They did. I was actually at the press conference where it was announced, because it was announced at the Arena Bowl in Orlando. It was Arena Bowl 25, if I remember correctly, Arena Bowl 25. And it was the, to be honest with you, it was the, you know, the worst kept secret. It's like if you knew anything, you knew. But big announcement, strolling down, Gene Simmons, et cetera, et cetera. The band came out carrying their helmet, you know, no surprise, and had, you know, answered questions. So yes, Kiss actually owned a team in the Arena Football League, and they played out of Anaheim.
Did that bring on a lot more casual fans just because of the name, or was it not that?
Of course, of course. Uh-huh. It did. And I think they also did the same thing too. When John Elway was part owner of the Colorado Crush, John Bon Jovi was part owner of the Philadelphia Soul. You had Travis Tritt at one point was part owner of the Nashville Cats. You know, it's so you had some pretty big names in right. music and entertainment owning parts. You also had trying to remember his name now, but he was part owner of the Las Vegas Outlaws. Name has totally escaped me, but again, it went into that bowl of famous people being part owners of Arena Football League teams and becoming the face, just like Ron Jaworski did also for the Philadelphia. So he became a huge proponent of the AFL.
I can tell you have a passion for the AFL, and you have throughout. I mean, of course, you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
What if you had to go back and really soul search, what drew you to the Arena Football League?
I think it is with all honesty, as I mentioned before, I was a kid of, you know, of leagues and logos and things just caught my attention that weren't necessarily the norm. And I'd never seen a game. I'd heard about the AFL. I think I may have seen my first game on late night ESPN, whether it been one of the games that were currently joined in progress games, which happened all the time. And keeping up with the stats and standings in the USA Today back in the late 80s. You know, I'm a kid who followed the league for all those years, but never saw my first game until the mid 90s. So, but from there, that's where it started. And, you know, I'm glad it did, because it's, you know, not everybody caught on. You know, oh, newspaper, oh, it's not real football. Doesn't count.
I'm glad you did another one of those easy transitions for me, because you gave me the DeLorean question. I always have to ask the legit DeLorean question, where you are going to go back in time for real. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you're the first guest to have this 1.21 gigawatt. It's called Out of Time Energy Drink, blue raspberry flavor. Yeah, it was horrible, but it's just cool to have the can. So you're going to go back, because you said you didn't go to a game until the mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and you can relive and be there for any game between the beginning and the 90s. Which game are you going to?
I've always said this. I would either go back to the test game in 86, or I would go back to the showcase game. But since I've seen the showcase game on TV, on YouTube, I guess it kind of counts in a way. But I think, I mean, there are other games too, because you know, the internet back then, you know, wasn't what it is. And I had missed games even where I am now. I had missed games that I didn't see in the newspaper because it wasn't carried in the local newspaper, the advertising for the game itself. But yeah, back then, a kid in his teens. Yeah, I would love to have gone to Chicago to see that test game.
So we have the test game, and then we have all the way to the end, and now you are preserving the history over at arenafan.com and with AFL Rewind. Other than that, any kind of last words of wisdom for the listener of the show regarding the Arena Football League, where they can find you, and anything else that you want to talk about?
I've always said, and I hope it doesn't get old, but it's I don't want it to get as old as the catchphrases that Commissioner Baker always used to use when he was commissioner. No matter how much you follow the AFL, but whether you were a player, a fan, an executive, a cheerleader, a mascot, everybody is a part of this family. Everybody is a part of the hashtag Arena Football family. It's something that cannot be taken away from you, whether you like the game or not. I think you're going to be a part of this family, and there's always more to learn. I have, and I think that's one of the main reasons why I started AFL Rewind, because even as a lifer, as I call myself, even though I call myself, you know, an ambassador to the league, which we are as fans, whether or our media or whatever, there's always something new to learn. So that is what we're hoping to do with AFL Rewind. If you want to follow it multiple places, best thing to do is to head. You can catch us over on our social at AFL Rewind. But the best thing to do is to go over to arenafan.com. You can head over to the podcast page there. Or as of recently, you can actually head over to our YouTube page also. That's at youtube.com/arenafanonline. And you'll be able to catch up. Not only on some of the archival pods for AFL Rewind, but if you go far enough back, you can actually catch parts of the old the AFL Tonight podcast. Other than that, I hope I never run out of stories. I don't think I ever will. I think it's just a matter of being able to talk to these wonderful people and just to get out the stories to everybody.
Did that interview bring back any memories? I mean, Tim shared some history of the AFL, But we really only got the, we'll call it the Cliff Notes version of the Cliff Notes. So to get more AFL history, you have to head over to the AFL Rewind podcast over at the Sports History Network, which is sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. And then head over to arenafan.com to learn more about the Arena Football League and everything else they have going on over there, especially that really cool feature. Well, we'll call it multiple really cool features. He talked about the interactive box score, but also the On This Day in the AFL. We just happened to bring up the one where they had the fight on the field the day that we're recording this. So the day that this is coming out, which is, as he looks at his calendar, it is going to be July 28th, 2021. I wonder what's going to be going on in the AFL during that time frame. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Football History Dude. To make sure you're the first to get the next episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice and head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com for the show notes and more information on the history of the NFL. And remember, dudes, where we're going, we don't need roads.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser-known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Fran Tarkenton and Red Grange, but have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform to get podcasts.
Sports Social Podcast Network.